We're going to have our prayer of illumination. We're going to look at the word for a bit. Shall we pray? Lord, thank you for the good news of that Christmas presents to us, of you coming into this world for us. And we look forward to your coming again. We long for that. So help us, Lord, now as we look at your word, and help us to understand it and to find joy in what you're saying to us. In Jesus' name, amen. So our scripture passage comes from Revelation chapter 22. So right at the end of the Bible. So we're going to read the first six verses of chapter 22. The theme is God is like a river. And particularly the first couple of verses reflect that image for us. But let's read the word. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the trees are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. The angel said to me, these words are trustworthy and true. The Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, sent his angel to show his servants the things that must soon take place. And this is God's word to us. You might want to keep your Bible open. We'll be looking at some of those verses in a bit. So this is a season of Advent. Excuse me. And Advent means coming, right? So we celebrate the coming of Jesus into this world as a baby. But our passage is not really so much about that Advent. It's more about the second Advent, the second coming of Jesus. So the ancients, they were waiting for the coming of the Messiah, and he has come, and it makes a great difference for us. But we are also now waiting for the Messiah to return, and we look forward to that. Now, this passage gives us a picture of the future. This is what it will be like. And it's meant to encourage us. So the book of Revelation was written to a people who were suffering, who were facing persecution. And so that was difficult for them. And so this book was written to give them hope. And particularly this part that we just read is meant to give them the hope that there is going to be something better. Now the passage is actually part of a longer section, which begins in chapter 21. And I want to just begin reading that to kind of set the background for what we're the few verses we're looking more closely at. Chapter 21. This is where John has this vision, and he says, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with all mankind, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. He who was seated on the throne said, oh, I said that already, sorry. He said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. And that last part leads us into that image of God as being like a river. And then if we would read on, and I'm not going to read the rest, but then John continues with that vision and he sees the new Jerusalem. Now, by the way, that is symbolic. It's not going to be a literal city coming down out of heaven, but it's referring really to the people of God, the community. And it talks about that community as being filled with jewels and gold. And there's even a part where an angel measures the city. And its measurements are that of a cube. It's the same height, width, and length like a cube. Now, that's significant because there's another cube in the Bible. And that has to do with the most holy place in the temple. That room was the room where the tabernacle or the ark would sit, and God's presence was there. And only once in a year could a priest come in there to do some things. But he had to especially, you know, go through all these precautions and rituals before he was able to go in there. But what it's saying here is now the people are the city, and God is present fully with them. There's no temple because God and the people are the temple. And then we come to our passage again. And then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. So there's a river, right, going through the middle of that city. Now, I don't know if you were here a few Sundays ago. I said Jerusalem does not have a river. That's one of the weak points of Jerusalem. They relied on a spring outside of the city. They hewed a channel through the rock so that the water could come into the city. But it was their weakness. In fact, David exploited that. He came through that channel and took over Jerusalem and then made it his capital city. But there was no river in the city. But in this new Jerusalem, there is water pouring out. And it comes from God and from the Lamb. I don't know if we realize how important water is. We live in a country where there's so much fresh water, right? We just take it for granted that it's there. We just pour it down the drain. We flush the toilet. We do all those kind of things. And we don't even think about it, right? But if you're living in Palestine, for example, it is a dry land. And if you're near the Sinai Peninsula or area, and I've been there, it is just dust and dirt. There's nothing there. But when it rains, even the desert suddenly comes to life. And all those seeds and plants and flowers and trees who are lying dormant, they get this water and whoosh, suddenly there's color and green and all that kind of stuff. We see a little bit of that in the springtime, right? Everything's brown and then you get the first rain and whoosh, there it comes to life. But that's what the water does. It brings life. When I was there, we were in one of these fields, and somebody recited a line from Psalm 23, where the shepherd leads us into the green pastures. And I'm looking around thinking, what? This is green pastures? This is brown pastures? And there's hardly just a few spikes of grass here. But this living water, this flowing water, is going to bring life. And then it says in verse 2, it says, it comes down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the trees are for the healing of the nations. So can you imagine that rain in the desert, and all of a sudden everything's coming to life, right? Now, by the way, this verse, Ezekiel 47, has a whole section on it, almost the same picture except in more detail. But it sounds like a garden, doesn't it? Actually, it's an allusion to the Garden of Eden. I don't know if you noticed that, but it says, on each side of the river stood the tree of life. Right? There were two trees in the Garden of Eden. There was the tree of life, and there was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And you know what happened there? Adam and Eve ate from that tree, and then came sin and decay and death. Instead of life, things died. So God kicked Adam and Eve out of the garden, set an angel in front of the doorway or gateway or whatever it is, so they could not come back. And it says in Genesis 3, the man has now become like one of us, knowing good and evil. He must not be allowed to reach out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever. So he was kept from that. But now God is pouring out this living water into the New Jerusalem, and there stands the tree of life. 12 different crops, oh, such variety. 12 months, meaning all year, all the time, and leaves for healing. It's not a dead tree, it's a living tree, with leaves that bring healing. It's exuding with life and abundance. And then in verse 3 it says, no longer will there be any curse. Now, why not just give Adam and Eve access to the tree of life? Why not? Why bar them from that? Because something needed to be done. Something needed to be done about sin and its curse, death. And here's a thing which you probably wouldn't pick out because you need to know a little bit Greek. But the Greek word for the tree of life can also be translated as cross. As cross. In fact, in the book of Acts, a number of times it talks about it in that way. In Acts 5, verse 30, the God of our fathers raised Jesus from the dead, whom you had killed by hanging him on a tree or cross. There's another passage in Galatians 3, 13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a cross or tree, whichever way you want to put it. So this is the Lamb, coming back to our passage in Revelation, this is the Lamb who shed his blood to pay for our sin. This is the Lamb from whom the waters of life flow. This is the Lamb who hung on the cross or on the tree to forgive us, to cleanse us, to reconcile us so we can be in the presence of God. This is the Lamb who overcomes the curse so that for us no longer will there be a curse. So the future is like this. We will be in this new Jerusalem, in the presence of God, alive from this water of life pouring out from God in the Garden of Eden with the tree of life. And maybe we could say with Jesus as well. And then we get verse 4, and one of the commentators that I read says this is the key verse. In verse 4 it says, they will see his face. They will see his face. Before we could not see God and live, but then we will see God and live, and we will live in the garden of life, in the city of beauty, in the presence of God. So again, Revelation was written for people who were suffering, who were facing persecution, who were living under the curse. And this was written to encourage them, to give them hope, to help them keep going. God has a future for us. We have hope. Christ came in the first coming, the first advent, to make that possible. We will live, we will have life, and abundantly because of the Lamb. Jesus makes it possible. So it's Advent. And we await the coming of Jesus. We await the time when there will be a garden where the water of life flows, where we can see God. Take hope in that. Rejoice in that. Amen. Shall we pray? Lord God, help us to see that hope that we have of that new Jerusalem, of being in your presence, of the water of life filling us. We did not even really talk about how the water of life could be represented as the Holy Spirit. And may that water of life flow into us now so that we may begin to have that life. And we look forward to when you will return, Lord Jesus. Come. Come quickly. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.